bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the photo show, take two. Yes, we've had a little bit of a catastrophe here. I don't know why, no idea. I'm joined to discuss the week's photography and again by two fantastic photographers. Top left, Mr. Chris Forsman. You've had a good week, haven't you, mate?
Had a decent week, yeah.
I'm awfully sorry.
Quite pleasant.
We're making you do this again and again and again, but never mind. Apparently, you've got Hurricane Ivan on its way up to warm things up for you. Get outside and use a bar of soap.
Sure.
Fresh from Hurricane Ivan, which didn't do a great deal of damage, he says. Kevin Newsom, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. We didn't have that much problem in Tampa, and we leave it all for New Orleans to catch. They're just a magnet for those kind of storms. So yeah, we let the catcher's mitt have it, and we just kind of partied without it.
The good news is that they've done rather well with it, though, this time, relatively speaking, haven't they?
Yeah, relatively speaking, it's probably a blessing for them. I mean, they handled it well. And I think that when they rebuilt their levees and did all the upgrades and improvements, they really, you know, this was a small test, but it was a test, and I think it passed.
Excellent. Right. The week in photography news, it's pretty simple. I mean, we've got the Nikon that came out last week that had 3G, that had Wi-Fi support and was Android-based. Samsung have done something similar. They've dropped a gorgeous, gorgeous looking camera. It's the Samsung Galaxy camera. There you go. There's a picture of it. And it's Android based. It's got a 4.8 inch screen, which is just huge. 16 megapixels, enormous zoom range as well as, and it does 3G and 4G. It's got a card that we're guessing is a mini SIM card in it. What's the first thoughts, fellas, again?
Let's see if I can remember what I was saying earlier.
Without sounding like you're reading.
Yeah. I think it's really impressive. And what's interesting has been on the smartphone side for a while. They've been making cameras for a long time. And what I'm kind of surprised that they haven't done this sooner. But you know, what they're coming out with is basically like their top end Galaxy S3 smartphone, which is, you know, by all accounts, pretty impressive hardware. It's got the latest version of Android on it, Jelly Bean, which is probably the most capable version of Android that's ever been made. You know, and then they've mated that basically your basic smartphone with a pretty decent point-and-shoot hardware with a really long, a 21x zoom. So it's a really good package. It's a really good package, and I think it's a really smart design.
Yeah, Kev, I mean, I was saying I like the look of this. I mean, it is a good-looking camera.
It is.
And you like it as well.
Yeah, I do. I think it's probably the closest thing to something I would want to buy if looking at a point-and-shoot style camera. You know, the terminology camera phone has been around for a long time, but now they're coming really close to phone cameras. This is only, you know, maybe a half a generation away from adding a phone to it because it's got everything else. 23 to 483 millimeter equivalent zoom. That's pretty good zoom for a point and shoot. But, Wi-Fi technology, 3G, 4G, I think if it's tethered, it may need to be tethered for that. I'm not sure, but it's a great looking camera, big screen, 16 megapixel. And I know, you know, earlier we talked a little bit about price.
That's really the thing we've really got to talk about again is, you know, this is a nice camera. It looks very good. The 4G and 3G is superb, but you know, what's the price that this is? Cause there is no prices straight off the bat. There isn't anything. So what's the price this has got to hit to sell, Kev?
Well, I think earlier I had said between 300 and 500, but then, you know, Chris really spelled it out a little better. And I think Chris is probably right. You know, looking at, you know, 500 to 600 would be a very reasonable price for this kind of camera.
Yeah. Chris?
I would like to agree with Kevin that I am right.
Couldn't agree with you more on that one.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, you're looking at what is essentially not top end, but certainly at the higher end of point and shoot hardware. You know, that we're looking at now in today's market. You've got the 16 megapixel backside illuminated sensor, a 21x zoom. That certainly puts it into the mega zoom or ultra zoom category with that much zoom range. And then you've got a top-end smartphone hardware, which is, it varies quite a bit, but we're talking about at least $500 to $600 with the hardware here. So I think maybe $500 right around there is we're looking at. And you mentioned earlier when we were talking about this that you felt that maybe more like $350.
Yeah, I think
it was kind of like the 250 to 350 was like the point where consumers were going to just throw down their money. And I agree with you on that feeling. But at the same time, I think we're just talking about some pretty impressive hardware that I don't think Samsung's going to let it go for that
price. Is. I mean, that's the problem is I think for a compact camera, and let's not forget this is a compact camera. It's mm-hmm. got to take pictures that are decent at the compact camera range. And it's got to compete in terms of quality of image with something like the Panasonic Lumix. And the Panasonic Lumix is shooting great images from £90 here in the UK, £80 on Amazon, up to around £250. And the higher end than that, the compact cameras, £249 seems to be the magic number here in the UK. They're not selling at the £300 and £400 mark. They're selling at the £249 mark. People are okay with paying up to that much. And this, in essence, is a compact camera. And if they came out and said this was $1,000, you know, there's going to be a couple of people that will buy it, absolutely, but it's not going to hit a mass market, not by any stretch, and it's going to be dead in a year, which is sad because I've been saying for 2 years, we need 3G in cameras. Mm-hmm. We need, mm-hmm. you know, Facebook integration and web integration. We're finally getting it, and for them to get greedy on the price here, but equally as well, I mean, what's the build cost on this thing? If you're talking $500 worth of build cost for the tech, that would kill it, and I don't think they are. I really don't. Interface as well. We had a little discussion earlier on about interface. That's the manual control and the selection of your mode. And it's very intuitive. It's a little simple roller that looks like a lens. And if you put it into manual mode, you can roll the wheels around to get the settings that you want for f-stop and exposure. And, you know, you can put yourself into priority mode for shutter or for aperture. And you'll get instant feedback as well. And because it's a 4.8-inch screen, you're effectively almost looking at, 6x4 print not far off. So mm-hmm. you're going to get very, very good feedback. And I think we were saying as well earlier that, as a pro, I look at that and I instantly know what I want to do. But as an amateur, you're not going to feel intimidated by someone talking about aperture priority or even shooting in manual with that kind of ability to interface with the kit.
Yeah, I mean it's a really clever interface, and I mean it's really much better even than your typical smartphone camera interface. And I honestly have to applaud Samsung for really making an effort to come up with an interface that's unique, intuitive, and really plays to the advantages of having a touchscreen. I mean we've seen compact cameras and even some of the DSLRs now have these touchscreens on them. But all they're really doing is just having some buttons and you can push it with your finger. That's not really, it's not really taking advantage of the hardware at this point. And I have to really applaud Samsung for really thinking about, how can we use this best to our advantage?
Yeah. Kevin, you like this as well.
I do. And like I said, this is something that I would probably buy, if I were in the market for any kind of, simple point-and-shoot camera, this would be a very attractive camera. And I love the back screen. I love the interface. It does movies. It's got image stabilization. It's got a lot of little perks and things that a pro might appreciate and find some reason to use. So, like you had said earlier, it's a good-looking camera.
Yeah, I mean, the size as well, if it's at 4.8, that looks like it's pocketable as well. So for a day-out camera, it's not going to be the end of the world. It's going to be thinner or equal to at least a Lumix with a bigger screen so you can see it. I like my iPhone as a day-out camera for point-and-shoot, but when you start zooming, it's all digital zoom, whereas this is going to have optical zoom on it, and it's got the Android-based interface. If I'm not going to get humped by people on the data as well, and it's going to come in at around £250 to £300 I'd have my money down in a heartbeat. I've got a sad feeling that you're right, Chris, and it's not. It's going to be £500 to £600, $600 to $800. But I think they've shoot themselves in the foot if they're not careful. That way, that just won't sell. It'll be down in a year's time. It'll be down at 249.
Well, and I think that our friends in the UK, they have a little bit different idea of what getting screwed for data is actually like.
Oh no, you get humped. Yeah, I mean, we at least they ask us first. Kind of, it's a bit more polite. Mm-hmm. We don't pay a lot of money for it. No, I mean, if you could take, if this is a mini SIM and you could take Three's Networks mini SIM that they do at 15 gigabytes of data transfer a month for £25, $35, $40 here, and shove that in, it's a winner, absolute winner, mm-hmm. instantly, mm-hmm. no question. We gave Pentax a good praising last week for their Batman-like rubber camera, which mm-hmm. looked very funky and gorgeous. And we didn't really get time to talk about the X5, but the Pentax X5 is out there. It's not an SLR, although it does look very much like it. It's a fixed lens.
Doesn't it?
You said it's not.
No, it's a fixed lens, 20x zoom, so it's sort of like that mega zoom, ultra zoom type camera. But I just think it's really clever that Pentax has just sort of basically taken their kind of general DSLR style they've been using, I guess more like the K2000 maybe, just shrunk it down.
You know, it's got digital zoom as well, don't you? It's got a 26 times optical zoom, and it's got a 7.2 digital zoom on top of that. So the combined zoom ratio is 187 times zoom.
Yeah, yeah, suck on that.
Yeah, that's don't be shooting
it's
that
extreme.
Handheld. Not
extreme.
Handheld.
Yeah. Good thing it's got a tripod socket.
16 megapixel sensor. Looks very, very nice. I mean, it's a hark-back almost, isn't it, to the Olympus style cameras of the 70s, the late 70s?
It looks like an old, I had a Pentax ME Super back in college, and that was, it kind of looks like that.
Bit square on the corners, isn't it, be there?
They had a ZX5 actually in the late 90s, I think it was. It was an autofocus 35mm, and it looks just like a tiny version of that. In fact, even the dial is in similar position, and the same kind of silver and black color scheme on the silver model.
It's very retro, which can be a bonus for people who, the hipsters who are into retro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the chat room is not impressed. Bookery in the chat room says, yay, we're getting screwed. it's a prosumer-style digicam,
right?
POS, which...
Well...
He's got a point. I mean, again, I can't find a price on this thing. Have we got an estimated price point yet for it? Do we know?
Ooh, do I?
There's no test shots out either, so we can't say when it's good or not. The spec looks good. If again, what is based on the fact we can't find a price, what are we saying this should be then?
300. Let me search my email, because okay. I think I got a press release on this, and it might have pricing.
Okay, but we can still say what we're willing to pay over what they want to charge us.
I'd say $299.
Kev?
Say it again. How much?
$299, he says.
$299.
Are you going to bow down to him again, or are you going to call him?
Yeah, I'll go up or down. I'll probably go up. A little higher than that. I'm thinking closer to four.
Yeah, I mean, they like the idea of making things look like they're prosumer-esque. Like you say, it's made to look like an SLR, but it isn't, because they feel that gives them that ability to charge just that little bit more on top. And when it comes down to it, it's really not worth it. You don't have a price yet? You said you thought you might
I'm
have
checking,
a price?
I'm checking.
Okay. If you get a price for the end, let us know and we'll come back to it. I think I agree. I think it's not a fantastic camera. The specs are pretty ordinary, although, it's probably going to take a very nice image. But if it's more than £300 here, I think it's going to struggle.
Pricing, it's going to be available September. Suggested retail price, you ready for this?
$1,000.
$279.95.
That's a good price.
He wins.
$279.95.
I'm never going to question Forsman on a price again. Right, Mr. Right. One of the things it's purporting to be like a fake DSLR, but one of the cameras that's come out in the last week is the Sony NEX5R, which is a Micro Four Thirds interchangeable lens camera, which does look rather nice. It's very small. It's probably about in the body size about that of the Samsung, the Wi-Fi camera, and it takes your Micro Four Thirds lenses. What do we think?
Well, this is really interesting. So the NEX5 series has been around a couple of years, and they just, I think it was last year, they did the NEX5N. Basically, it's almost the exact same camera. What they've done is they've changed out the sensor for a newly developed one that gives it a hybrid autofocus system that combines the phase detection that like we're used to in our high-end SLRs with the contrast detection that's more common in these, like, you know, I think even you call them bridge cameras.
Yeah.
Or even your point and shoot. So it'll do a quick focus point using phase detection and then uses the contrast detection to fine tune it. And it can also switch over to a continuous phase detection. So it'll do 10 frames per second, which is, I mean, that's fast autofocus, even on a high-end SLR, getting 10 frames per second continuous focus. At the same time, you know, this is, you know, it's the mirrorless, and the Sony's use a full APS-C size sensor, so you're getting the same type of sensor you would get in a full-size SLR, but in a much smaller body. The lenses are still about, they're a little bit smaller than typical 35 millimeter style SLR lenses or DSLR style lenses, but still the lenses are still pretty good size. So you know, if you get one of the zooms, you're just gonna have a little bit of bulk. But the camera itself is very small and very thin. And you know, people I talk to that have the NEX5N, the older version, you know, they really like it. So you've got the faster autofocus. They throw it in Wi-Fi. So, you know, great. You know, like we've talked about for a while, you know, the Wi-Fi connectivity, it's almost pointless to bring a camera out without it at this point. And we see that Samsung's finally started adding 3G. So that's going to be common. But now Sony they have this new idea where they're going to have apps you can download to the camera and give it new features.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that. There's around 100 applications that you can get, which are going to give it, they're kind of like presets, aren't they, effectively, almost?
Some of them, yeah. I mean, yeah. You've got, like, the main one that they're talking about now is this direct upload that the camera's going to ship with that, and so you can basically take a picture and snap and push a button, and it goes right to your Facebook or whatever. So
yeah, there's editing, retouching, smart remote control, time-lapse mode, and that kind of thing, so.
Yeah.
Kev, you were talking about the time-lapse earlier on. What's your thoughts on this one?
Time lapse on this camera, you mean?
Yeah.
It says that you can download a time lapse app, which, you know, it might be interesting. There's a time lapse thing that we're going to get a chance to talk about, which I think is quite unique, but really more, you know, fun than anything else. This one, you know, it's a high ISO range of 25,000 is useful, but the kit lens, 18 to 55 kit lens, doesn't really impress me. But you look at it and it's like, will it take any other lenses, or is it just stuck with that one lens?
No, it's interchangeable lens.
Micro Four Thirds, isn't it?
I know that'll come. That'll no,
it's
come
not
off.
Micro, it's not Micro Four Thirds.
Oh, it's not?
No. It's uses APS-C. No, it uses APS-C size sensor. But they do have a specific mount. They call it E-mount. So they have an adapter so you can use the Alpha series lenses on it, or even the old Minolta autofocus lenses. But it's a mount because it's mirrorless, and you've got the different back focus. So it is a custom mount, but it uses full size APS-C size sensors, so it's not tiny sensors like the Micro Four Thirds.
Right.
See, it looks it just looks odd to me, because it looks like they've, okay, if you're going to put a lens that big on a point and shoot, why buy a point and shoot? You know, buy a 35, or, you know, a DSLR. Buy something that's going to be that big.
Taking four thirds, yeah.
It just looks a little silly to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of, well, I almost feel that way about the EOS M they just Canon announced a couple weeks back.
Yeah.
Remember the EOS M, right?
Yeah.
Because it's got, it's again the same sort of thing. It's got its own mount because, you know, it's, there's no mirror. It still has the same sensor that's in like your digital Rebel, basically, but a smaller, thinner body.
Mm. Okay. Good, good. There is a new release from Photo Jojo, which we like them as a store, called the Camel Apps. It's $25, and you can use it with a glyph. You screw your glyph into the top, set your iPhone camera in there with an application that you download from the store, and it's kind of like an egg timer. You turn it and it pre-cranks a screw, and then it unwinds itself. It can do a 360 panorama with time lapse, or it can do a 15 minute time lapse as well, shooting the odd photo here and there. I got to say, for the price, I thought it was quite impressive. I know it's a very simple principle, but the fact that it interfaces with the application seems quite good. Any first thoughts, Kev?
Yeah, I think it came off the conveyor belt a little too quick. it's a concept that's it's a great little product, and like you said, the price, $25. You know, that's a toy, but it's got one speed. It only pans from right to left. You can't pan left to right. So that to me would be the biggest problem. It needs to go back to the drawing board. But I love the concept. It's an egg timer. All it does is got everything without the bell, and. You know, the pictures that the guy used to do this with, you know, it looked like it worked very, very well. You could do a time lapse over an hour or whatever, 360 degrees per hour. Pretty neat, but one speed and only pans from right to left? Come on, there's got to be a way to flip a switch and make it go the other way.
You turn it upside down.
Yeah, couldn't you just move it upside down?
Yeah, because it screws in using a standard fitting, doesn't it? For your tripod.
Like.
Yeah. So if the glyph screws into a standard fitting, but it's whether it's male or female is going to be the question, isn't it?
Right.
Because I think on the top, you're going to find that's a male. And
it looks like the bracket on the top for the iPhone.
Yeah.
An add-on.
Yeah. You don't get that for $25. That's $45 if you want the glyph with it. Mm-hmm. No, the glyph's not bad. I mean, I've got a glyph. Here's the thing. I saw this and I thought, this is great. For $25, I couldn't care less. So I ordered it. And now I can't find my damn glyph. But I've got a little connector that does female to female on 3-inch BST. So I can 3-inch BST. So I could put this on upside down and turn it, providing I could... I haven't got a male to male, but I could get a male to male 3/8 and put that in the top and then presumably do left to right. But how stable it's going to be, I don't know. I had a good fun the other night, though. I went out and we got a fantastic moon here, really clear night. And I took my D600D and put my 200mm 2.8 lens on it with three 2 times converters. And mounted it on a tripod and videoed the moon going across the sensor. It was
nice.
It came out really good as well. 1/30th of a second on it. And I only had it at ISO 200 as well, so the quality's not bad, which is nice. And I shot a still as well, which I tweeted out, and the still came out pretty good. You going to buy this, Chris?
Am I going to buy it? No.
Oh, it's $25, you tight ass.
I just have other places where I need to put my money.
You probably drink that in the first hour of going out on a Friday.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like I said, I have better places to spend my money.
Drinking's a better use of $25 any day.
For me.
I haven't come across an opportunity to use something like this, but the thought was intriguing. I like the idea.
Right.
I just think it needs a little tweaking before they put this thing on the market.
Yeah, I mean, I do a lot of shots of industrial installations where a 15-minute time lapse of them building something or that pans or a longer 360 pano of a facility from the center. I could see me using this commercially because I mean, now that some of the video I've shot video at 1080p using my my 4S, and it looks beautiful when it goes out to people. I'm not. I'm all on my own again now. So Skype's dropped.
Just lost them.
No, we're back again now. Here we go. Hello, Kev.
Okay.
Hello.
Yeah, I'm there.
That's all right, mate. You need to start your video again. But I was just saying, I'd have an opportunity to use this commercially, probably quite regularly. So I would say it would give me quite a good advantage for some of the video stuff that I do. It's different. No one's going to buy it because they're going to look at it and go, "That's a cheap piece of turd, 25 quid." But by the time you bought it, I've bought it, and I've bought a couple of. I like Photo JoJo as a store anyway. I love getting my little dinosaur. Definitely, Zeiss has released two new lenses. There's the first one, and it's a compact one. Now, interestingly enough, have you both seen the Blackmagic video camera?
Oh, yeah, uh-huh.
This is a Blackmagic video camera that's Thunderbolt-enabled, so you can link it direct. It runs off SSDs for the memory. You just plug a little 2.5 SSD in it to gather the data, and then you can interchange it. All the firmware is held within. And it shoots at 2.5K, doesn't it, resolution. It's a bit more than 1080. And it takes Zeiss lenses.
It's 4K maybe, but...
No, it's definitely not 4K. It's 2.5K-ish, I think. I've been looking at buying one. Now, the Zeiss lenses, it's compatible with all of the Zeiss lenses and all of your Canon lenses as well, so you get all the great depth of field that you're used to. And not surprisingly, Zeiss have released two lenses which will go along with it as well as... Mm-hmm. And they look nice, but the only...
These will work on the Canon cinema cameras too, right? The C series camera,
which again, the C500 has just been released as well, hasn't it? Which is which is 4K. So EOS C camera, that looks absolutely stunning, and I'd love one of those as well. But I don't think I've got the 7K that it's going to cost me, unfortunately.
Well, they have the C100 too. They just announced. I guess that's.
I'm not buying a cheap man's version.
No.
What's the price of the C100 then?
$8,000.
Yeah, see? But the Zeiss lenses, I mean, these things, they're expensive though, aren't they?
Mm. Well, haven't they always been?
Exactly. I mean, the question I've got is...
Top notch.
Well, yes, they're very, very good lenses, but are they really worth that extra amount? I give Leica a good kicking because the stuff is excellent quality, I'm not questioning it, but the bang for buck is not there. And I think the same is probably true of these lenses, no?
You know, I can't really comment a whole lot on these things because I know so little about the video world.
Well, this is stills. This fits with your still stuff.
You can do either, yeah. So it's got PL, which I think is a common, it's a cinema camera type mount. Canon, Nikon. It says E mount, which I think is the Sony NEX.
Yeah.
And MFT, which I don't know. I'm not sure what MFT is.
Yeah. They're nice lenses. They're lovely quality, but yeah. they're 12.
I mean, just
12 grand or something stupid, aren't they?
I mean, top notch glass. You're talking solid, carved aluminum barrels. I mean, it's exactly the kind of stuff that when.
I want one made out of solid carved ivory for that kind of money. I want an elephant to have died in order to give me that level of quality.
And what did elephants ever do to you?
Oh, yeah, well, don't start me on what elephants have done for me, mate. I don't know.
But yeah, I mean, this zoom lens is, they're taking almost 20 grand.
Yeah, exactly.
For 20 to 80 zoom lens. I mean, this is not atypical for a Carl Zeiss lens of this caliber. I mean, it's not, the price isn't really unusual.
They're beautiful. They're like Hasselblad. You'd love one, but you're never going to justify it. Oh, by the way, I've got someone who works at Hasselblad who I shot their brother's wedding last week before last, and he said, "Oh, I'll have a word with him, see if I can get you a review unit."
Oh, nice.
I'll have one of those. Questions? We do have a question from the chat room today. I have a question. I can get a Nikon D3100 with two lenses, an 18-55 and a 55-200, for around $750. Current exchange rate, that's £470. I think that's dollars US. What does the panel think of that unit as an entry-level DSLR camera? All of my others are point-and-shoots of varying sizes and complexity. I can afford to pay more if another camera is considered better. That's from Pete. What do we reckon then?
Well, sure, there's cameras that are better. He's talking about the basic entry level Nikon. And
In comparison, then, because we had a question the other week, didn't we, about the D5100? I mean, what's the offset between a D5100 and a D3100? I mean, I know one's more expensive than the other, but you know, for the sake of $100, it's worth taking the leap? I would have thought.
Yeah, I think 3100. I think there's a 3200 now, isn't there?
That sounds familiar, but I'm not a Nikon man, so. Kev, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Kevin.
Kev, you're the Nikon man,
that's not a bad camera. I think my nephew just bought one, a D3100. It was in his price range, and he's a young kid, you know, like literally 13, 14 years old, but he saved his money because he really wanted a real camera, and he's stepping into that world already. I think he picked this one up, but I don't know whether or not he got the kit lens. I'm not a fan of kit lenses. That's the 18-55. They tend to be lightweight, almost plastic-ish, and not real sharp. Variable apertures. I'm a fan of as wide of aperture as possible. So I would, if you could just get the body and then put the extra money towards a lens that's a 2.8 fixed aperture, then I think you'd later decide you made a good choice.
Yeah, I mean, I think putting the money into getting the D5100 may be worth the money. And also, I agree with Kev, for £80, you're getting the 50mm fixed lens at 1.8, and that does you a far better job. In terms of purchasing brand new, the D3100 here in the UK is £315 at the moment at Wex Photography. So £475 for those two lenses, based on a body price of £315, actually sounds just maybe even on a shade higher than you should be paying. I would have said, because the 55-200 shouldn't be knocking you back more than £110, £120 at most within that. I agree with Ken. I think get yourself a fixed lens with good variability on your f-stop. That'll do you far better. Chris, anything to add?
I would just say that, you know, I've worked for the camera shop for many, many years, and you know, this type of setup is a pretty basic kit. A lot of times, our store would work out some deals with Nikon, and so you'd get like a little gadget bag and maybe some, you know, like an extra battery, some extra warranty, some things like that, all in a little bit of a package. I would see what the store is offering for that price. You know, is it because it sounds like he's buying new. And that might be a good starting point. And I agree that, you know, it's probably, he'll, you know, as more as he gets into photography, he'll definitely want to invest in better lenses. These are basic, very basic kit lenses, and they're not especially that good, but they're not bad either. And I think it'll definitely give him kind of, as he uses it, he'll get a better idea of like where he wants to spend his money on lenses.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's in Nikon, it's all about the glass. And so you do invest, you know, more money in the lens down the road, you'll be happy. It's an investment more than an expense.
I think as well, you look at the low end stuff for the Canon, the TI and the Rebel, as it is over here and over there, respectively. And those cameras they're doing okay. I mean, I've got a D600, which is a very low-end camera. I bought it to start playing with video. The video it shoots is extremely good quality. I don't think I'm going to get a lot better without going to a higher resolution up the Canon range. But if you're prepared to take an 18-megapixel camera that you know, I wouldn't be happy with it as a pro, but it's good enough. You know, the quality of what I see from shooting stills isn't what I'd expect out of the 18-megapixel that I've got in my 1DS Mark II, which was $6,500 when I bought it. But they're good enough. If you're talking about stuff that's going to go into 7x5s, 8x10s, that kind of stuff, the very low end of a lot of the DSLR spectrum now is more than good enough for the average kind of pseudo prosumer. And you know, I could submit some of the images that I've taken with the D600 in stills for commercial use. I just, there's a bit of me that's probably a bit of a prima donna that says I won't because I can see the errors in them, but you know, there's a bit of snobbery maybe in there, no? The low-end stuff would do.
Well, yeah, sure.
Oh, okay. Right. And that wasn't really a question, but... Just... Yes, Ewan, we couldn't agree with you more on that one. Thank you.
Of course.
This podcast and all of the others on the network are brought to you by UK2. You know when you lie in bed and you've got that flash of inspiration when you want to go and start a new business, or you think, oh, that'd be a great name for a website or something like that? Well, if you've got the iPad by the bedside or you've got your iPhone, you could actually buy your website from UK2. I was out with the crew down in London the other week from the London Mac User Group having a beer, and we came up with an idea for a name for a website that rated curries. And I went and bought it on my iPad right there in the middle of London. I was drunk, I have to admit, and it wasn't the most appropriate name for publishing. But I bought it straight away, and I bought the .com and the .co.uk for, I think it was £10, 2 years for the .co.uk and 1 year for the .com. Really, really easy. Go to our website, click on the logo for UK2. It takes you through in a different tab. Go back to our website and click on sponsors, and all the offer codes are there for UK2. They've supported us for 3 years, and they've just signed up to carry on supporting us for another 2 years. You guys are buying a lot of service from them. Thank you very much. They're a good firm to be around. We get no real feedback that we've got a lot of complaints. And if anyone does say, oh, this has happened, I didn't expect it to, I've just sent them an email on to Craig at UK2, and he sorted it out for them. They look after us. They look after our listeners as well if there's issues. So please support UK2. Use the click-through on our website, though, otherwise we're not going to get the kudos for sending you. And also make sure you don't enter your payment details until you've got all of your offer codes entered on your basket. Then put them in. Just hit return and it'll keep bringing you back. And you can buy it world over. It doesn't have to be UK. Yeah. It can be US, Philippines, anywhere you like. No problem at all.
And
thanks for them.
Just to add to that, the coupons only help when you use them. This works at the grocery store. It works at UK too. You got to put in those codes.
Yeah, we did. We did go through quite a period when we changed over from Bagel Tech to British Tech. Craig was ringing us up and saying, Ewan, you guys are buying loads and loads of stuff, but they're not using the coupon codes. So you're using the click through from us and they're not putting the codes in. Do put the codes in, please, please, please. Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Forsman?
I am always at the rstechnica.com orbiting HQ. Just technologists spilling out daily. So you can find me there at Ars Technica. And also on the Twitter, I'm at Forsmac.
Excellent, sir. Thank you for coming along. You're on Mac next week.
Yes.
Righty-ho. Does Kelly do photography?
I don't know if she's a photo buff or not. She does a lot of Instagram.
So she won't be coming on here and replacing you. That's what I'm saying.
Maybe, maybe not.
Okay. And Kevin, where can we get you, sir?
At Newsom's Studio on Twitter, or Kevin at NewsomStudio.com. I'm here 5 days a week at least. Maybe 1 or 2 days I might be out of the studio, but this is my life.
Good lad. Living and breathing. Foxy will be back next week as normal, so there'll be a full panel to discuss photography. Thanks for watching. See you next
more
week.
More cynicism.
Grumpy Foxy. We love you. Don't. It's just...
Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.